Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
There's a line saving kids. We are a referral agency. We offer parent support for families of all mental health issues. If you know somebody, doesn't matter the age or the stage, feel free to call MASC's confidential helpline at 718-758-0400. We do in-school programs. We have interns, Schwarzweiler interns, that go into schools in the elementary and the high schools, both in boys' schools and in girls' schools. And we do programs for prevention of all at-risk behaviors. So again, maybe you want to get a pen, jot down our number, maybe it's for yourself, a friend, a neighbor, a loved one. Maybe it's somebody you sit next to in shul. Our confidential helpline number from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. is 718-758-0400. And anyone that wants to make their end-of-year donation for MASC, please go on to our website, maskparents.org, or call our number, and we can help you do it even over the phone. So please keep us in mind. Donate. It's the end of the year. We're a 501c3. 21 years. We're going to be actually starting our 22nd year in February. And we just hit our 50,000th family that we've worked with. So if you want to help MASC, help these families, be our partner, donate online. I am very, she's a woman that you should stand up when she walks into the room, because this woman alone is a founder and a principal of a school named Benos Chomesh. It's their 12th year, and I'd like to welcome you tonight on our show. Mrs. Dina Gorkin, thank you for making the time, for coming on to let everyone know about your amazing, wonderful, creative program. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, our school, because it's been a tremendous help and a tremendous support for our students and our staff.
Thank you. So I want to get right to it, and for those that don't know what Benos Chomesh is, if you can please just tell us where you're located, what kind of school it is, how many students you have, what is the focus and the mission of Benos Chomesh, please.
Okay, so our school is in its 12th year, our bas mitzvah year. We are a girls' high school located in Crown Heights. The school was started... I started together with a friend of mine as we watched high school students in other schools floundering, just not being successful, whether it was academically or socially or in their spiritual quests. I had worked in a larger school before and really saw girls who were falling through the cracks and who needed something much smaller, more nurturing, and an environment that would really cater to their individual needs more than the larger schools are capable of doing. So with a lot of siyata d'shmaya and a lot of brachais and support. I started the school with a group of 14 girls who were looking for something smaller and more nurturing. And it was kind of a rough ride the first couple of years, just trying to figure out who exactly we should be catering to and who exactly we could help. So just to clarify, we're not a therapeutic school. We have, you know, had people apply that need intensive therapy or need really a total environment, and we refer to other places. But we're a regular Board of Regents approved high school for girls. Our students are in grades 9 through 12. They have a full day of studies from 8:40 to 4:50. It's half a day Judaic studies and half a day secular studies. It's a full Regents curriculum, so the girls do take Regents throughout the 4 years of high school. We also offer a lot of individual attention academically. Girls who have an IEP, which is an individualized education plan from the Board of Education, are given one-to-one tutoring or in small groups. We have 3 guidance counselors in the school. We have, at this point, we have 42 students, grades 9 through 12, and every girl is given as much individual attention, not just in terms of academics or the counseling, but also just the love and the warmth and the every teacher is aware of where their students are holding in their personal life, and girls confide in their teachers, and it's just, we describe our school as a big warm hug, but it's not without focus and structure. So there's both sides. There's the warmth and the love, and then there's the structure and the helping girls reach their personal goals, their academic goals, their spiritual goals.
So MASC has serviced your school in several different ways. One of the ways is that we give you an intern to work one-on-one with the girls every year. I mean, in the past several years. So I think it's important that everybody knows that every girl in the school sees a professional. Isn't that so?
Yes, that is correct. Every girl sees a professional. It's not a stigma. You go to the guidance counselor. Every girl sees someone. We have a firm belief that that a girl in her teenage years must have a support person who she can confide in, that keeps her confidence and is looking out for her mental and emotional well-being on a very, very personal level.
So that's really important, because we at MASC, the First Lady, Shalane McRae, Thrive New York City, is working towards stigma-free. And that's so important that everyone knows it's okay to see a professional. So kol hakavod that you have that in place, and that the girls know that it is, you don't have to pull them out of a classroom where they feel only they're seeing somebody. Because in the regular high schools, that's still what it is. So this is really good that they're learning how to communicate, how to reach out for help. I know our interns at MASC that are in your school over the years have always said how easy it is for them to develop that their communication skills with these young ladies, to learn about how not only when they're in your school, but when they leave your school and when they go out in the world and get married, that it's okay for them to reach out for help. So it's really wonderful that you implement that stigma-free idea and that everybody has to see a therapist. I'm wondering if we can just talk about, you know, 12 years ago, you started the school, Mazel Tov on your bas mitzvah a year, and the girls then were very different than they are today. A lot was being hidden in those days. Parents were having a very difficult time accepting, even when they have a daughter or a son that's acting out. I'd like to hear your differences that you've seen from 12 years ago to today, please?
So when we started this school, there definitely wasn't as much openness from the parents about what their kids were going through, whether it was depression or anxiety or you know, hanging out at night, you know, not coming home for an entire night, all these kinds of behaviors. Parents were very, very hush-hush and even afraid to come to me and talk about it, afraid to put their daughter in my school because, of course, there was that stigma that it's only, you know, the kids who are just so far away from all the correct behaviors that need a school like this. And it's become parents are much more open to the idea of putting their child in an environment where it's just more nurturing and more directed to repairing things that have not gone right in the past. In terms of the kids, we're actually seeing much more anxiety, very, very much more anxiety, much more exposure in terms of social media, and there's a big connection between those two. I recently had a conversation with the principal of a seminary who was calling about one of my students to find out if, you know, this is a good fit. And one of the things that he said to me was, I see so many kids nowadays that are coming here with anxiety. And it's the last few years. I haven't seen this in the past. What's going on? And my answer to that is, I remember as a kid, as a teenager, there was plenty of teenage drama. There was plenty of, you know, cliques and issues and all kinds of teenage stuff. But when we left school, we left the drama in school. And if we went home, there was one phone at home, and if our parents answered the phone, and it was a girl in the class that they knew I didn't want to speak to, they just said, sorry, she's not available. My drama was over from the minute I left school until the next day, so I had a chance to recover. And I had a chance to be home with my family and just have pleasant time in my day. Nowadays, kids leave school, and the drama just begins. And there's the social media, and how many likes did I get, and who likes me, and who's following me, and she said, and the drama doesn't stop until they drop off to sleep at 2, 3 a.m. with their phones in their hands. They have exposure to so many, to every type of input from the internet, movies and television and music, where the whole message is, unless you're pretty, thin, popular, you know, have a million likes, you're not valued, your worth isn't there. And so the anxiety level of our kids is through the roof because they're just struggling with so much social drama 24/7. So that's the biggest thing that I see that has changed.
And what about bullying? I know we talk about social media and the negative effects of it. There's a lot of online bullying as well going on. Yeah, I want you to please touch on that as well.
So that's definitely a big issue, and I've seen it close up. And it even can be done in very subtle ways where girls will have a chat of their friends. And on the chat, as soon as one girl speaks up, another girl will immediately respond with something to counter it, just because it's that particular girl. Or there'll be one girl that every time she makes a comment, everybody else is silent. And it's really subtle, but it is, you know, in that category of bullying or ostracizing or making one person feel like the odd one out. And then there's obviously overt bullying, where kids are threatened, where they are put in compromising positions, and it's not always from their group of friends. Sometimes it's from friends of friends of friends, or total strangers, and kids become traumatized from those situations, and they're afraid to talk about it because perhaps they shouldn't have been on that social media outlet in the first place, and it just spirals downward into really some really negative outcomes and kids who are walking around with anxiety that they can't even talk about.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I know on the helpline parents call up and they describe that they had no idea that their child or young adult has been bullied on the internet, and they find out only years later that they went, share with their parents, and they've been walking around with this pain and this embarrassment and this fear for so many years, which now they're willing to share with their parents, and which has caused them anxiety. So, yeah, anxiety, you know, when I started MASC, I started it for drugs and alcohol at the time, and it sort of unraveled the other way, and we are doing prevention work. The last 10 years, we do prevention of all at-risk behaviors, but I will tell you, from day one, 21 years ago, we just hit our 50,000th family that have gone to our programs and we've been involved with. And of those families, the last 3 years, the number of families dealing with anxiety has just gone through the roof. The numbers are mainly anxiety calls that come in. Of course, we find out, you know, when you peel away the onion layers, you find out where it all began. But the fact is, the kids today, like you said, suffering from anxiety for many different reasons. Reasons that parents maybe at home have issues, whether it's divorce, dysfunction, reasons of parnassa issues maybe going on at home, fathers or mothers, you know, not being able to work and provide for their families. Families are really struggling. And then, you know, possibly in their genes, you know, extended family members have other issues, and they also may have mental health issues. And we haven't spoken about molestation. I know there are many girls and boys that have been molested, whether it's incest, molestation from outside family, guests that come over Shabbos, family members, teachers, rabbis, school, camp, siblings, whatever it may have been. I want you to explain how you're able to help those families, those girls, because I know you are helping them. So can you just speak about that, please?
Sure. Well, I have been working with Operation Survival many, many years, over 25 years, and that was really, when I was there full-time, that was really, you know, in their offices, that was really where I first encountered. I was guided by a very, very wonderful person by the name of Michal Behrman, some people know him as Michael Behrman, on how to work with these kinds of situations delicately, because there are so... there's so many factors, and every story is different, even if they sound the same, because you're dealing with different personalities, different ways, you know, a different nature reacts differently to the situation, how the parents dealt with it. So, so complicated. But the first thing is, it's very, very important for school professionals to realize that there are signs that they can actually see if they're paying close attention. So if you have a child who was previously a good student, a diligent student, showed up on time, and the behavior suddenly starts to change drastically, child is spaced out in class, just not caring about things, keeping to herself, expressing real anger or total lack of interest in anything school-related, or even in friendships, where you see the friendship suddenly take a complete turn, and she's now, what, she was hanging out with the straight-A students, and suddenly she's hanging out with the girls who are into some of the more risky behaviors. you have to start asking some hard questions. The second thing is that just approaching a child and head-on asking what's going on is never going to get you an answer unless you happen to have a really great relationship with that child. So if a school professional happens to see that something is amiss, it's important for her to find somebody that the child trusts, because teenagers, or younger kids also, but especially teenagers, the population that I work with, don't just tell anyone. As a matter of fact, they're very, very carefully guarding their privacy, and even if they have something terrible going on, the fear of telling, the fear of being blamed, the fear that, you know, parents will instill fears of things like your sister won't find a shidduch, there's so many fears about telling, the fear of having to face the story again after it has happened. That's a huge one. And so there's so many fears that it just, from most kids, it just seems better to not talk. So it's important for school professionals to know, I don't have to be the one to get this child to talk. It's not about me. It's about getting her to the help. So it's my job to find the person that she's comfortable to talk to and get her to talk. And then once a child is talking, to guide the parents to a therapist. It's not every therapist that should be dealing with a molestation case or an abuse case. There are therapists who are really, really good at this. I could name names if you like.
No, they can call the MASC helpline.
They could call MASC for referrals.
Right. We work together with Dina Gorkin and on referrals for all issues, including molestation, and anyone that needs a referral can call the MASC helpline, and together, if you have someone in particular that you want to recommend on a case, we can get that to the family.
Okay, so yeah, but that's really important, because there are many good therapists out there, but there are certain therapists that specialize in trauma and abuse, and there are certain types of therapies that work well with trauma and abuse. And those are the ones that need to be explored. And when you take a child into therapy, and of course therapy is a shidduch, and that child has to be comfortable with the therapist, but if you take her for years of talk therapy and nothing really moves along and she needed something more than talk therapy, she's just going to believe that therapy doesn't work and she won't get the help. So it's important to make sure that you have the right shidduch in terms of the person and the right type of therapy, so that
right.
The child can really be helped. And the sooner the help happens, the better. There's the more time that goes by from the incident of the molestation or the abuse, the harder it is to get that child to a better state of mental health.
Right. And now that we're talking about referrals for trauma and abuse, number one, when there are specialists that specialize in trauma and abuse, but whether we give you the referral, whether Dina gives a referral, whomever it is, any of the other agencies, please, whoever you are going to, ask them, are you in supervision? That's an important piece that you must address with the therapist that you are picking for yourself or your loved one. So find out who supervises them. You can always call the MASC helpline. We could let you know, find out that they're credentialed properly. And like Dina brought up, there are other therapies that are available if regular talk therapy may not work, whether it's art therapy, working with horses, give MASC a call, and we can then try and get you to the right referral as quickly as possible. Dina, before we run out of time, I want to ask you the one question MASC gets over and over again all through the 21 years is, you know, my daughter is a lovely girl. She just has bad friends. What can I do to keep her away from her bad friends? Both you and I know that's not really how it is, but I'd like you to please explain to our listeners about the concept of my daughter's a good girl. She just has bad friends, please.
Right. Well, I think if I had to rank the questions that I get from parents, this is probably question number one. It's like the top question. And my answer to that is every child is good. It's a Yiddish and a Shama. Every child is inherently good. Some kids are easier to raise. Other kids are more challenging to raise. But every kid is good. The issue is that when a child isn't behaving or is doing at-risk behavior, something has happened to that child. That's a child in pain. And a child in pain is going to gravitate to other children in pain. We know as adults that we gravitate to people who are like-minded, who share our interests and share our experiences, right? So people of, you know, close to our age group who are experiencing the same life changes that we are, and people who share our interests. And, you know, if we are interested in politics, we're interested in working in the community, people who share those interests are the people we're going to gravitate to, and children do the same thing. So as their interests and experience change, so do their friends. If they were friendly with, a quiet, sweet group of girls previously who are doing the right thing, and then suddenly they start gravitating to the girls who are getting into trouble, we must ask ourselves why. Why are they doing that? Something's going on. Something is deep underneath that suddenly they feel a camaraderie and a shared experience with those other types of girls. I talk a lot about this this idea of healthy, happy from, right? A lot of times we want our child to dress more modestly. We want them to be learning more, and that's the only thing that we're concerned about. It's what we're thinking about when they're starting to go downhill in their behavior. Really, they're going downhill because underneath they're not happy, and maybe they're not happy because they're not healthy mentally or emotionally, and we need to address the underneath issues. Kids who are emotionally not doing well are going to gravitate to other kids who are not doing well. And we can't pull kids away from friends. Friends are their support system. They're their first line of support. So rather than try to pull our kids away from those friends, what we want to do is dig deep and work on their health. And when we get them to a healthier place, mentally, emotionally, and they're happier, they're going to gravitate towards a different type of friend who is also happier, more emotionally healthy. As we improve their mental and emotional health, our children will gravitate to healthier kids.
Absolutely.
But we can never pull kids away from bad friends. It just doesn't work. It actually has the opposite effect.
It does indeed. The more you try and pull them away, the more they're going to gravitate towards them. So, yeah, well, Dina, it's wonderful having you on. I want to wish you much hatzlacha with your school, with all the girls that come to you, because I know that after school you have other girls that always end up by your door reaching out to help from the past, and people that are struggling looking for other placements. So hatzlacha rabba to you. And I want you to know one of our interns visited your school yesterday and was just so impressed by seeing the school and the girls and the happiness and the environment. So kol hakavod, yash koach to you. And for those that want to listen to any previous shows, go on to our website, massparents.org, and donate online on our website. Or call the Mask Helpline, our confidential number, 718-758-0400. And anyone that wants to reach out to Ms. Dina Gorkin at Benoz Chomesh, call Mask. We will get you to Dina to answer all your questions. Feel free to call our confidential number, 718-758-0400. Thank you, Dina.
Thank you, and hatzlacha rabba to you.
Amen, and I'd like to wish everyone a very good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. And remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Hey, this is Moshe Frank from the Levim Judaica Art Gallery. We are located on 271 Kingston Avenue in Crown Heights. We buy and sell Judaica art and at levimart.com.
KZN, Talk Line Communications Network Radio, America's number one Jewish program.